We're going to do something special this morning. We're going to hear a story from Shane and Tanya Miller about some of their life's journey over the past few years. Many of you know that Shane was in a bad accident this past fall, hit his head, had brain injury and trauma, and this church family and many, many others prayed for him. They're going to share about that. At the conclusion of that, if we have time, I'm going to share a short Mother's Day message of appreciation to all the ladies here. So I'm going to ask Shane and Tanya if they would come up. Great. Make sure their mics are on. So Shane and Tanya have been coming to the 1045 service. So many of you, some of you know them and their children. They have four, Caleb, Ethan, Austin, and Danielle. And some of you may not, but we wanted to introduce you to them. And they've been asked to come and share some of their life's journey and all that they've been through as a word of encouragement and testimony to God's glory for what he brought them through. But let me just bow for prayer. Father, I pray you'll anoint and bless this conversation. Just speak to our hearts and give us hope as we listen to what this family has gone through. In Jesus' name, amen. So, Shane and Tanya, so good to have you here. And Shane is currently working up at?
Mellon Crowd up in Hobart.
And Tanya, where do you work at now?
I'm a house director for Broome Developmental.
Okay, and that's in Franklin, right? When you go, one of those new places there. So what I'd like to do is, I'll start out with Shane. Shane, tell us a little about the early years of your life and your church involvement and so forth.
So I was born and raised here in Walton. I grew up about a block from the fairgrounds on Marvin Avenue. I played football here at Walton. My dad helped me build a tree house when I was probably seven. And by the time I turned eight or nine, I caught it on fire playing with matches and gasoline.
You know where this is going, right?
It wasn't that great of an experience. When I had to come in the house smelling like fire and gas, and my parents were not happy. They'll be here at the next service if anybody wants to be here to support my mom, because she's going to have a rough time with this whole.
Tell us about your church involvement as a kid.
So my parents have always been believers in God as long as I can remember. And it was not an option for us to, do you want to go to church today? It was, you're going to be there. And we respected our parents, so we were there, whether we wanted to be or not. And I really didn't, you know, there was parts of the service that I liked, but there was a lot of parts that just, I was couldn't wait for it to get over so I could get out of there, you know?
I hope it wasn't the sermon he was referring to, but it could be, right, Dave? Anyway, thank you. So you kind of had a strong church background. Tanya, talk to us about your growing up years and your church involvement.
Okay, well, as kids, my parents worked all the time, so we didn't go to church. My dad was on the road a lot, being a truck driver and everything, but we did have a babysitter who her dad was a pastor for the Methodist Church in Sydney. So she took us to Sunday school, and she would take us, you know, every Sunday. I mean, we didn't go every Sunday, but, you know, when my parents weren't available, she took us. And that was my childhood. And then as we got older, we didn't need a sitter anymore, so we didn't, you know, we stopped going. But my parents had split up when I was in high school. And my dad started going to church and had my brother and I going to church and when he came to know the Lord. So,
Yeah, I want you to pick, you see the value of a babysitter? You never know who you can influence. Thank you for sharing that, Tanya. So, Shane, back to you. I know you have been through a lot, you and your family, over the past 3 to 4 years. Give us a summary of some of those big issues.
I met Tanya and got married, and that was probably the best thing I ever did.
We could stop right there, couldn't we?
Four beautiful children. They're great. And back in 2018, I was working up a Saputo and lifting a heavy object and felt like lightning running up from my shoulder up my neck. And it took them 2 years to figure out what was wrong with me. And basically, I haven't worked in 2.5 years, so I've been working the last 4 weeks. That's the first time since October 2018. And then another bad case scenario. My wife's van, when she would turn on the left blinker, either the blinker wouldn't come on, it would work, or the opposite blinker would start working. And I said, well, we got to get this taken care of before someone tries to pass you thinking you're taking a right-hand turn. And you veer into someone coming at 50 miles an hour. Who knows, you know? So she took it down to Binghamton 4 times, and we fixed it, and they never did. So the 5th time, I went with her down to Binghamton, and I asked the guy at the dealership, you know, she's been down here. This is the 5th time. Is there any way we could borrow one of the vehicles so we can go to Dick's and Walmart and Lowe's and do a little shopping while we're waiting for you to do what you're doing? Yeah, not a problem. And they took her phone number down and called her. Basically, we were walking out of the last store we wanted to go to, and we pulled up in front of the dealership. They said, let me back up a little bit. In the phone call, they told her, we got it figured out. We don't have the parts. We're going to have to overnight them. We're going to let you take that vehicle home for the weekend and come back Monday, and we'll have your vehicle all ready to go. So Tanya was driving, and she pulled up in front of the dealership, and we had to turn across oncoming traffic to get into the parking lot of the dealership. And, like, the 3rd car was a cop. I guess that was God's hand in it. We sat there waiting for 4 vehicles, and a lady hit us from behind at 40 miles an hour. And from that, I had to get my lower back fused, and was not a good experience. But I'm doing a lot better now. And then August 30th last year, I decided to sit in the back of an RZR, which is basically a little pickup truck. John Deere Gator is kind of what they look like. And I don't really remember it. There's a whole month of my life that's gone. But apparently I asked the guy that was driving if I could stretch out my legs by dropping the tailgate. And he said, yeah, just be careful. So I reached over. I dropped it with one hand, hanging on with the other hand. And it felt so much better to get my legs stretched out. And we turned and went up another road. These are all paved roads. And then we turned and went up Gray Road. And the bottom of Gray's Road is like a Y at the end. And it gets kind of steep there. And he was worried about that. So he was paying as much attention to me as he was where he was driving and how fast he was going. At 25 miles an hour, he said he watched me slide right out the back, land on my butt on the road, and the momentum of my body still doing 25 whipped my head to the pavement. And he stopped the vehicle, came to see how I was. He said my knees were bent, I was laying on my back, my head tilted, and he could hear my heart pounding through my chest, but he couldn't hear me breathing. Thank God his girlfriend was, I think she's a, what is she?
She works for the emergency squad.
She works for emergency squad, and he called her over and said, he's not breathing. And she straightened out my neck and got me breathing. They put me in her seat, And
there's no cell service where that is, so that's why they took him.
They drove me another mile to a phone where they called in a helicopter, two ambulance crews, and 10 people couldn't get me out of that passenger seat. I don't know if anybody knows Josh Lauderette for Trout Creek Fireman. He was part of one of the crewmen that was there, and he came up and grabbed on my right arm while I was sitting in the passenger seat, and they said that I lifted him right off his feet. And I actually got to see him last week and apologize that that's not the way my parents raised me, to fight someone who's trying to help me. And I felt terrible that I did that, but he said, no, you're fine. It's your, what is it that takes over? Your adrenaline took over. Mm-hmm. But they finally got me strapped. They got me out of that and strapped me to one of those wooden boards that they put on the stretchers. And everybody started cheering and clapping, and we're going to get him in the ambulance and get him up to the helicopter. And all of a sudden, I just went haywire again, and I ripped my head loose. The Velcro went flying, and they decided, okay, maybe we're not quite there. You know, it makes them rethink. But they finally got me up to the helicopter, and that's when my wife showed up, because she was working late that day or changed shifts, and they wouldn't let her in the ambulance because I don't know what exactly they were doing. I wasn't comatose. And they got me whatever position they let her in, right? Because I really don't remember it. I'm going off of what I've been told. And they put me in the helicopter, and they flew me to Binghamton and put me in a coma down there for a
couple weeks. Mm-hmm.
And at some point, I woke up and ripped the coma tube out of my throat. And that ended up them leaving it out because I was still doing all right. But they put mittens on me and strapped them to my wrist so that I couldn't grab anything else, and gave me a 24/7
sitter.
Mm-hmm. Sitter, yeah. From that, they took me by ambulance up to Schenectady Hospital for another 2.5 weeks. And literally, doctors were saying I could end up autistic, brain dead. It could have went a lot of ways. And I could only imagine the amount of stuff that my body was going through, my wife and kids were going through mentally. And I feel bad that it happened. I really do.
So, Shane, wow. So you lost about a month you can't even remember, right? Yeah. So, Tanya, you tell us about your experience when you got the call and what happened in your life.
I was at work. I usually work day shift, but I had switched shifts with somebody, so I was working. And a friend of mine called and told me that Shane was in an accident and that they had called the helicopter. So I immediately, I didn't know what to do. I was, you know, when you work where I work, it's you're part of minimums. You know, there's only a certain amount of staff working. But I couldn't think anymore. Well, then my oldest son, Caleb, called and said, "Mom, did you hear?" And I said, "Yes." And he said,
"Don't drive."
Yeah, he said, "Don't drive." He said, "I'm gonna come and get you." So he did. He came and got me, and all the way there, I was praying and shaking and praying, and I get there. They wouldn't let me in right away to see him, so I stood outside just kind of pacing. And when I got in, they said he was talking, so they told me to talk to him. So I talked to him and kind of asked him what he got himself into, and he didn't say anything to me. So I knew it was bad. It was scary. So my son drove me up to the Wilson, and we were in the waiting area for a little while, and went in to see him. And the doctors had said it was good that they had got him. They had put a drain in his head, but he was totally out. They I had all these tubes and everything all over. But I remember seeing him like that and just so scared of what was going to happen and, you know, what the future was going to hold. I remember going home that night and going to my kids and just telling them, you know, Daddy's going to be okay, but pray. Pray. That's all I remember telling them, is pray. That's all we can do.
So there were a period of weeks after the accident that you really weren't sure what the outcome was going to be on this. And this church family and many others prayed for Shane. Some knew him, some did not, but it was a real prayer circle for many churches all across the country or different states. So, Shane, starting with you, tell us what was a turning point for you as you walk through this. I mean, spiritually speaking, what happened inside Shane?
So, back to the whole growing up and going to church every Sunday, and I was a part of Royal Rangers. I was involved with church. But I just, at that point in my life, I wasn't sure that was the path I wanted to take. And once I came out of this thing and I started being able to think and remember things, and people started telling me things, the amount of people down the whole East Coast that were praying for me to get better astounded me. God healed me. The doctors can take whatever credit they want, but the truth is, I wouldn't be here telling you the story if God didn't intervene. And because of that, I figured out which way I want to head now. I really have.
I like the way you put that. After all he's been through, you know, there's a discerning, filtering process, and he says, I figured out the way I need to go. That's amazing. Thank you, Shane.
And let's hope that doesn't go that way with other people, because let's say that I didn't live. You know, I know that my life wasn't right. Where would I end up? Not in heaven. Well, I'd end up at the pearly gates for 2 seconds for them to say, yep.
So Shane, as you journeyed through this, there was a turning point for you that you said, hey, I need to point my life in a different direction. Tanya, talk to us about what you experienced as a wife, mother of the children. You're walking through a valley. You don't know the outcome. Talk to us about that.
It was a roller coaster. It was a roller coaster. I mean, there was times I thought I was going to give up and be like, I can't. Because he come home from the hospital, and it was...
my German Shepherd, tried to eat me at the front door.
Yeah, it was hard because he didn't know what was going on. And I'm still wondering what... I thought maybe, maybe he should have stayed at the hospital because it was very hard to deal with him. He targeted the children, you know, and, he had anger outbursts. I had to send him to another hospital at one time, which was the hardest thing I had to do. But I think it was one of the best things I had done. I was able to go down to my parents and get a new feeling, a new outlook. Came back, and we just have been taking one day at a time. That was my motto, take just one day at a time, and we did. And we were invited to Easter Sunday.
By Björg DeBasso.
Yes, she invited us here to church. So in the past, whenever I'd ask him to go to church, he'd said no, he's not going. So I waited, and then when I first got the text, I did mention it to him, but he had a little bit of short term, so he didn't really remember. But so I, a couple days, like getting closer to Easter, I said, Shane, I said, I'd like to respond to Bjork. You know, would you go to church with us? And he said yes. And we've been going ever since.
These two and their kids have been in church when they worked for the kids. They've been in church since Easter Sunday, every Sunday. So we certainly have to compliment you and commend you for, wow, learning some huge life lessons. So here's where I want to kind of wrap up. Shane, talk to the people, and then we'll give Tanya this opportunity. What are the biggest faith life lessons you could share with this group that would encourage people here today that might be in a tough situation?
That's a difficult question. Got a different one? I guess, you know, growing up and then becoming a parent, I'm no longer just the child. It's setting forth the right way for a child to go. And it's not an easy job. But if my parents didn't do that, who knows where I would be right now? It would be a totally different set of cards that got thrown into the air. So, as parents, bringing your children to Christ, to church, will set an anchor in them. Whether they get bent and tilted by that now or 2 years from now, if they don't have that seed for it to grow, seed can't grow. So I'm just so thankful for my parents and my wife. There's been numerous occasions that people could have just given up on me and walked away and wished they never met me. Don't smile at me.
Never.
But I love my wife and kids and my parents. I'm so thankful that you all prayed for me. I don't even know how to give back to that, you know? But your prayers were answered.
So we have here a real miracle that this family's been through. And I appreciate what you shared, Shane, that, you know, parents invested in their kids, planted seeds. Kids grow up, do their own thing, make their own choices. But the seed was planted, and you kind of came full circle. You came around to it. And I have to say, a babysitter in your life planted seeds, a babysitter, by getting them to church, and you and your siblings and so forth. So, Tanya, you tell us or share with us, what are some of the big life lessons as you look back at the last 6 months or even 3 years that you'd like to share with this group?
That God has a plan. He has a plan for all of us, whether it not be what we think it's going to be or not the way we expected it to go. I just know, I know that God has a plan for every one of us, and that prayer is powerful, and I've witnessed it. It's and that's what I believe.
Great.
And that being said, my son Caleb, he's the oldest one, turned 20 Friday, and my parents and my wife keep telling me that I turned 47 yesterday. But I stopped having birthdays after this accident. And I'm trying to figure out what exactly I want to be when I grow up now. I really am.
We can help him figure that out. He's going to be a Royal Ranger leader, is what he'll be. But I have to say, so appreciate both of you just sharing your hearts and your stories. And they're going to do it in the second service. And Shane's parents are here from Virginia. And Mom, we think, doesn't know they're going to do this. So it's going to be a pretty special time. They're coming to the service, and it'll be a great time. But I want to pray for you two. I thank you for sharing what you did. And just ask for God's continued healing upon them. Let's pray. Father, We give you credit and glory and thanks for the miracle on this platform. That Shane, he's alive. He was spared probably because of the prayers of many people, his mother and father included. Thank you for both of them, Tanya and Shane, and for as they walked through this valley, Lord, you welded truths to their soul that they can use to bless other people. We pray for continued healing and recovery, Lord, in the brain, whatever there might be. Just we commit this family to you and ask for your favor upon them going forward. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
Amen. Amen.
Let's give them a hand, shall we? So thank you so much to both of you for sharing your story with us. Just so we can all be encouraged that whatever happens in life, when we allow God to be a part of it, he can do some amazing things in us, for us, and through us. I want to share just a few thoughts about Mother's Day as we wrap up. And then we have a great reception planned for all the people that are here next door. And we trust that each of you will go over and be a part of that. Just a short message on a Mother's Day tribute. And I'm going to use the life of Hannah in 1 Samuel chapter 1. We have a Hannah here this morning, but this is Hannah, and we have two Hannahs. But I want to share with you three traits from Hannah's life that I think please God. And we are blessed that we have a lot of ladies, women, mothers, grandmothers who have these traits. And we just want to say thank you to each of you for living this out. So if you have your sermon listening guide, three simple thoughts about Hannah's life. We're going to kind of move through this quickly. And just that it pleased God, and on Mother's Day, this is just a wonderful day to recognize the women of the church. So three traits. Number one, Hannah was God-centered. She was God-centered. In your notes, read with me verses 4 through 7 from 1 Samuel chapter 1. Whenever the day came for Elkanah to sacrifice, he would give portions of the meat to his wife Peninnah and to all her sons and daughters. But to Hannah, he gave a double portion because he loved her. And the Lord had closed her womb. And because the Lord had closed her womb, her rival kept provoking her in order to irritate her. This went on year after year. Whenever Hannah went up to the house of the Lord, her rival provoked her till she wept and would not eat. Point number one, Hannah had a God-centered life. How do we know that? In chapter one, it talks about what kind of action she had. And in verse 7, it says, whenever she went up to the house of the Lord, she had a God-centeredness to her life. And the first thing that pleases God with a mom, a grandmother, a woman who is a blessing to other kids is when they have a God-centered life. Here's a quick picture of a bunch of circles. And life is really all about what's at the center of our life. There are many circles that circle the center circle, but what's most important is what's at the center. And some people have a misdirected center. You can have good things at the center, like a career, achievements, and even family. Family is super important to God, but you know what is more important at the center? Is when God is there. The family's just probably the next circle out. But Hannah had her priorities straight. And I think about the ladies of this church. Many people here, you're just God-centered. Can I tell you, that pleases God the Father. When you have him at the center of your life, because he is glorified through that. Number two, she was a woman of prayer. If you want to be a God pleaser, just be a man or woman of prayer. This next text, a little longer, let's read through it together. When they had finished eating and drinking in Shiloh, Hannah stood up. Now Eli the priest was sitting on a chair by the doorpost of the Lord's temple. In bitterness of soul, Hannah wept much and prayed to the Lord. And she made a vow, saying, O Lord Almighty, if you will only look upon your servant's misery and remember me, and not forget your servant, but give her a son, then I will give him to the Lord for all the days of his life, and no razor will ever be used on his head. As she kept on praying to the Lord, Eli observed her mouth. Hannah was praying in her heart, and her lips were moving, but her voice was not heard. Eli thought she was drunk and said to her, How long will you keep on getting drunk? Get rid of your wine. Not so, my Lord, Hannah replied. I am a woman who is deeply troubled. I have not been drinking wine or beer. I was pouring out my soul to the Lord. Do not take your servant for a wicked woman. I have been praying here out of my great anguish and grief. Eli answered, Go in peace, and may the God of Israel grant you what you have asked of him. Four times the word praying is used in this text, praying or prayed. And so we find here that she was a woman of prayer. God is pleased when moms, women, ladies have a prayerful heart. I wanted to share, she was barren. She could not bear children. But may I suggest that when you and I are barren in whatever area of life it is, it's a setup for God to do a great miracle in your life. Because once she got done praying, Eli the priest said, Go in peace. May the God of Israel grant you what you have asked of him. You know what you need if you're barren in some area and you're struggling and you're praying about it? Let God speak a word into your life. That's all it needs. A word from heaven that will encourage you. And it says she left there. May you go in peace. You know, prayer is at the heart of what pleases God the most. Here's a quote I came across. I thought it was so good. Prayer, the world's greatest wireless connection. I mean, that's what it's all about. D.L. Moody said this. Here's another quote. Every great movement of God can be traced to a kneeling figure. The story of Shane and Tanya can be traced back to people that were praying and probably most likely kneeling in God's presence. And God, he answered those prayers. So number one, she was God-centered. Number two, she was a woman of prayer. Number three, she surrendered Samuel to God's purposes. In other words, Samuel, this child, this promised child, she surrendered him to God's purposes. Read with me the last couple verses in your notes. After he was weaned, she took the boy with her, young as he was, along with a three-year-old bull, an ephah of flour, and a skin of wine, and brought him to the house of the Lord at Shiloh. I prayed for this child, and the Lord has granted me what I asked of him. So now I give him to the Lord. For his whole life he will be given over to the Lord. And he worshiped the Lord there. I want you to notice what she did with her first child, Samuel. She brought him to the house of the Lord, and she said, I will give him to the Lord, for his whole life will be given over to the Lord. Some years ago, I heard a speaker, can't remember his name, talk about two kinds of dreams. One was the American dream, And then there was the kingdom dream. Here's what the American dream is. It's when you want your kids, your child, to do well in life, in their career, even financially. You want them to prosper. It's an amazing dream. But there's another kind of dream. It's called the kingdom dream. Hannah had a kingdom dream for her child. And she said, God, I want your purposes in Samuel's life. I will even pray to that end. The kingdom dream, the American dream. In America, in the past, the kingdom dream was very strong many decades ago. Today, here's what happened. The American dream is stronger than the kingdom dream. They flip-flopped. And so we have people that encourage the American dream, and it's an amazing thing. But the kingdom dream, that your child lives out God's purposes, is somehow further down on the menu list. And so the thing that Hannah had spot on was she wanted Samuel to live God's purposes. Here's a picture. It's just a good question. What's your dream for your kids? If you want to put that picture up there, what's your dream? There you go. What is your dream for your kids? Kingdom dream or the American dream? But here's the secret. When the American dream is a servant to the kingdom dream, it's a beautiful thing. Both are important, but you got to get them in the right order. The American dream to do well is amazing, but it must be a servant to the kingdom dream, which is the purpose of God in someone's life. Hannah wanted God's purposes for her child. I think that's a beautiful thing. That pleases God. When you as a parent or grandparent or you're speaking into someone's life, just pray God's purposes over their life. So three simple things. One, Hannah was God-centered. Number two, she was a woman of prayer. Number three, she surrendered Samuel to God's purposes. Here's my last picture. Abraham Lincoln, all that I am or hope to be, I owe to my angel mother. Moms, we want to say thank you for all that you do for us, for kids, even for the guys here, the adults. You're amazing people. All the multitasking you're required to do. And I love the video. It kind of summed it up best. But we just want to say thank you. We love and appreciate you for all the ways you bless us as guys. Let's bow for prayer. Father, thank you for the ladies that are here this morning. And we just pray your blessing upon them. We owe so much to them. Their caring touch, their stern discipline, their sense of just steadiness and perseverance. And we pray a blessing upon every mom, every grandmother, every lady here today, the babysitters of other kids. We pray you'll bless them. We ask this in Jesus' name. Amen.